Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org. Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Individuals and organizations that advocate for the rights and welfare of animals often use graphic and provocative rhetoric to make their points. Take, for instance, the comparison of the treatment and abuse of animals to human slavery. In the book, The Dreaded Comparison by Marjorie Spiegel, she draws similarities between interpersonal violence, humans harming other humans, to how people treat and exploit animals. Well, this doesn't sit well with many people who feel it lessens the importance of human slavery in our collective history and improperly elevates the status of non-human animals. And the same is true of the Holocaust when used to describe the plight of so many animals. There's a book titled Eternal Treblinka, Our Treatment of Animals and the Holocaust, which explores this idea. And the organization PETA has made the analogy between the Holocaust and treatment of animals a number of times. Ingrid Newkirk, PETA's president, is quoted as saying, 6 million Jews died in concentration camps, but 6 billion broiler chickens will die this year in slaughterhouses. Responding to one of PETA's exhibitions making this comparison, the chairman of the Anti-Defamation League, Abraham Foxman, said it was, quote, outrageous, offensive, and takes chutzpah to new heights. The effort by PETA to compare the deliberate, systematic murder of millions of Jews to the issue of animal rights is abhorrent. So what do you think about comparing our society's treatment of animals to slavery or the Holocaust? Is it going too far? Well, for a lot of people, yes. But what if someone who had himself survived the Holocaust stated that the way we treat many animals in our society is like a Holocaust? Would that add some validity? Today's guest is Dr. Alex Hirschaft, an extraordinary man with an amazing story. Alex is founder and president of the Farm Animal Rights Movement, FARM, Farm, the nation's oldest organization devoted exclusively to promoting the rights of animals not to be raised for food. Welcome to the program, Alex.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Laurie. It's my pleasure.
Alex, let's begin with your time as a young child in the Warsaw Ghetto. Describe to us that experience and how you managed to survive it.
Sure. Well, just for a bit of history, on September 1st of 1939, the Nazis invaded Poland and set up martial law. 6 months later, we and the other 400,000 Jews living in Warsaw and surrounding areas were ordered to move into the Jewish section of Warsaw. Most had to move in with strangers, but my parents and I were fortunate to move in with my grandparents, who had a large apartment in the Jewish section. By November 16 of 1940, that section was walled off, and the Warsaw Ghetto was born, with nearly 400,000 people crammed into an area of barely 1.3 square miles. Crowding, starvation, and disease became unbearable. Typhus became epidemic, with victims lining the streets. During the first year, an estimated 100,000 died of starvation and disease. In mid-1942, the Nazis began implementation of what they called Operation Reinhardt, and what we know today as the Final Solution. Between July and September, they dragged between 250,000 and 300,000 Jews from their homes to the infamous Umschlagplatz, where they were packed in cattle cars for a two-hour trip to the Treblinka extermination camp. It is estimated that nearly 1 million Jews were exterminated in Treblinka, not just from the Warsaw ghetto, but from other areas as well. And the ghetto was totally leveled in May of 1943. Now, I was able to survive because my grandparents had two blessings: a substantial collection of jewelry and a Russian living maid named Yuliana. When the ghetto was formed, just as Jews could not live outside, Gentiles could not live inside. But Yuliana refused to leave us because we were the only family she had. Some years earlier, Yuliana had joined the Society of White Russians in Warsaw to maintain her Russian heritage and culture. White Russians had fought against the Red Army during the Russian Revolution, and the Germans cultivated White Russians with the expectation that they would become their collaborators when Germans conquered Russia. So the White Russian Society was able to secure special permits allowing Yuliana to live with us and to bring in food. When the ghetto was being liquidated in the fall of 1942, one of the mass roundups caught Yuliana, and she was barely able to extricate herself, even with all her permits. It was getting too dangerous, and my grandmother would not allow her to stay with us any longer. Yuliana finally agreed to leave, but only on the condition that she would take me with her as her son and deliver me to my aunt, who was passing for Christian and living outside the ghetto. My grandparents gave Yuliana three batches of jewelry. The first for the German guards at the ghetto gate, so they wouldn't ask too many questions about me being Yuliana's son. The second was for the Polish hooligans hanging outside the gate who made their living extorting valuables from escaping Jews. The third was to allow Yuliana to start a new life on the outside. So indeed, I ended up at my aunt's, and my mom and my dad were able to join me there a few days later. My aunt's partner was active in the Polish underground and was able to get us fake identification cards. And thus began a 2.5-year ordeal of living in hiding on false papers. It was a life of constant alerts to any suspicious sounds, statements, or glances, and frequent close calls. My father lived separately under a different name, so we wouldn't implicate one another if one of us got caught. If we have time, I can give you some examples of the close calls, but for now, I guess we can move on.
Alex, it's an incredible tale and almost difficult to imagine a world like that. Have you ever gone back to visit?
I did. I went back after the war. And, of course, the ghetto was totally leveled, and they just left a few ruins as memorials. However, the Treblinka camp was preserved as a memorial. I was including the gas chamber and the crematorium pits. I was particularly impressed with the dramatic piles of shoes and glasses and hair and charred bones. These were silent testimonials to thousands of feeling living beings who were no more.
Don't go away. We're speaking with Alex Hershaff. He's founder and president of the Farm Animal Rights Movement. This is an extraordinary man, and you have to listen to his amazing story. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. You're listening to Animals Today. You're listening to Animals Today. Check us out at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to all our previously broadcast shows. That's animalstodayradio.com. Animals Today Radio is largely sponsored by the nonprofit animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals. AIAnimals.org, AIAnimals.org. If you like this show, you like what you're hearing, please consider supporting Advancing the Interest of Animals by making a donation through their website, AIAnimals.org. And you can like us on Facebook.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org.
Do you got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me. Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea.
Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the Doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS, the Solutionist, on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You can be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
Listen to this cool invention, the Activator. You plug it into any wall at your house, and in 30 seconds, it maps out your house. It knows every floor, every door, every window. It knows everything about your house in just 30 seconds. It's like, Scotty, put the shields up. You plug in a light, you plug in a stereo, you plug something into the Activator, and it turns on when somebody comes to your door or window. It absolutely protects your home. If anybody tries to enter any point of entry of your house, any window or door, whatever you've plugged into the Activator turns on. Imagine this, plug the Activator into your bedroom, and you know something? Somebody at the front door raps the door, tries to get in, the lights will turn on in the bedroom. Have two Activators, the lights will come on wherever you've put the Activators in the room, and you've plugged in a light. The Activator gives you fantastic sense of security. It's great with a security alarm. Even if you have a security system, still get the Activator. Why? Because it warns you before the door is broken, before the window is broken, before someone crosses the threshold of your house, the Activator has scared off the intruder. Not only that, but imagine this. You come home personally, put your own key in the door, the lights come on for you. The house welcomes you. The house says hello, and you know something? After 3 minutes, it resets and starts to protect you. First it welcomes you, and then it protects you. The Activator normally sells for $79.99. Today, $29.99. You heard me right, $29.99. And you call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. And go to MyCoolGadgets.com, MyCoolGadgets.com. And the special of the week at MyCoolGadgets, the first 20 customers will buy one, get one free. That's right, $160 worth of Activators, still only $29.99. Call 1-888-877-0490. 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolgadgets.com. My Cool Gadget.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Alex Hirschaft is our guest today. So, Alex, as the months and years go by after the end of the war, what were you doing and what were you thinking about? I know you earned a PhD in chemistry.
Well, that was much later. But once my life was no longer in danger of daily, you know, survivor's guilt set in. And the question I kept asking were, why was I spared when so many good people were not? And how can I repay the debt for my survival? They may sound like strange questions, but that's what was on my mind. The obvious answer was to make this earth a better place to live by reducing the incidence of oppression. But how? So I became active in the humanist movement, then the religious freedom movement, the environmental movement, but none of those experiences seemed quite sufficient. Then at that time I was working for an environmental consulting firm, particularly dealing with water pollution. And one day as part of my work I happened to visit a slaughterhouse. They wouldn't let me onto the kill floor, but I got to visit the storage areas. And I saw piles of hoofs and skins and hearts, livers, skulls, all bearing silent testimony to the living, sentient, feeling beings who were no more. It brought back shocking memories of Treblinka. I tried to reject it as a coincidence, but the parallels were just overwhelming, like the use of serial numbers to identify the victims, the constant degradation of the victims. In our case, it was the just Jews. In case of animals, the just animals. The fastidious and arbitrary designation of who lives and who dies, like, you know, Jews live and Jews die and Christians live, and with the animals, pigs die and dogs live.
Yeah.
The use of cattle cars to transport the victims to their deaths, the crowded housing of the victims in wood crates, the deception about the horrors behind the camp walls, the outsourcing of the more gruesome acts to people considered inferior, like in the case of animals, it's usually the Mexican immigrants. In the case of the death camps, it was the Ukrainians or the Latvians. The emotional detachment of the perpetrators. And then I saw a quote by the 1973 Nobel laureate in literature, Isaac Bashevis Singer, and the dreaded comparison made perfect sense. He wrote, "To the animals, all men are Nazis, and life is an eternal Treblinka." In 1975, I finally realized that there was a valid reason for my surviving the Holocaust and a valid way to repay my debt for surviving. I resolved to spend the rest of my life fighting all forms of oppression, starting with the way we oppress animals raised for food.
Oh, that's just so incredible. Alex, how do you deal with the accusation that you were comparing Jews and pigs?
Well, you know, this is really, I'm glad you asked that, because that really goes to the heart of the matter. If we are ever hoping to consign the cancer of oppression to the garbage heap of history, to coin a phrase, the very first thing we must learn is that oppression is never about the victim. It's always about the oppressive mindset. It's about lots of good people not willing to oppose it or even to notice it. It's it's about us. As Nobel Peace Laureate Elie Wiesel stated, silence favors the oppressor, never the victim. The focus on the victim is one of the greatest tragedies of our civilization, and I'm not exaggerating. It's why all these wonderful advocates for the rights of African Americans, Jews, immigrants, women, children, other humans, and yes, non-human animals, don't work together for the liberation of all victims of oppression. The key requirement for oppression to succeed is to devalue and vilify the victims. In our case, as I mentioned earlier, it was, they're only Jews. If that wasn't enough, we were also Christ killers. Those who oppress pigs and chickens say, they're only animals. Would we say that about our family dog or cat?
Right.
Those of us who still consume eggs, cheese, or other animal products subsidize the greatest oppression in the history of humankind every time they shop for food.
So are you saying that shopping for food promotes oppression?
Absolutely. It doesn't just promote it, it subsidizes it. Just look at what's happening in today's factory farms. Pigs are produced by breeding sows who are kept constantly impregnated in tight metal gestation crates that allow no room for the sows to walk or turn around. When they are ready to give birth, they are placed in farrowing crates, nearly as cramped as the gestation crates, where they give birth and nurse the litter of 10 to 12 piglets. After 3 to 4 years of this horrible confinement, they are slaughtered. Dairy cows are raised in large mechanized dry lot dairies where they have little or no access to pasture. Twice a day, they are hooked up to milking machines. They are artificially inseminated and kept pregnant in order to ensure a constant supply of milk. When a cow's babies are born, they are removed from their mothers almost immediately so that humans can drink the milk that nature intended for them, for the calves. The cows search and bellow for their calves for days. What about eggs? Have you ever wondered, particularly the folks who talk about humane eggs, who have chickens in their backyard, have they ever wondered what happens to that half of the baby chicks who happen to be male and don't produce eggs? They are ground up live for chicken feed or simply dumped into large plastic garbage bags and left to suffocate slowly. The females are crammed 5 to 7 birds into a cage about 20 by 24 inches, stacked on top of one another. The birds are packed so tightly that they cannot extend their wings or move about. They are forced to stand on a sloping wire mesh floor that causes foot and leg lesions, while the wire mesh walls rub away their feathers and bruise their skins. And this kind of cavalier treatment, they're only animals. I mean, this applies to every animal that's being raised for food in today's factory farms. And what really gets to me is people sometimes will say, oh, well, let's get rid of factory farms, you know, fight factory farming. In fact, it used to be one of our slogans in the early days until we got smart. There is no way, Laurie, that we can raise the amounts of animal products without factory farms. There's just no way. There's not enough space to do that. So far, if you eat animal products, you are endorsing factory farms, no matter what you buy.
Very good. After the break, we're going to speak with Alex Hirschaff further and learn about his organization, Farm Animal Rights Movement. Don't go away. You're listening to Animals Today.
Listen to this cool invention, the Activator. You plug it into any wall at your house, and in 30 seconds, it maps out your house. It knows every floor, every door, every window. It knows everything about your house in just 30 seconds. It's like, Scotty, put the shields up. You plug in a light, you plug in a stereo, you plug something into the Activator, and it turns on when somebody comes to your door or window. It absolutely protects your home. If anybody tries to enter any point of entry of your house, any window or door, whatever you've plugged into the Activator turns on. Imagine this, plug the Activator into your bedroom, and you know something? Somebody at the front door raps the door, tries to get in, the lights will turn on in the bedroom. Have two Activators, the lights will come on wherever you've put the Activators in the room, and you've plugged in a light. The Activator gives you fantastic sense of security. It's great with a security alarm. Even if you have a security system, still get the Activator. Why? Because it warns you before the door is broken, before the window is broken, before someone crosses the threshold of your house, the Activator has scared off the intruder. Not only that, but imagine this. You come home personally, put your own key in the door, the lights come on for you. The house welcomes you. The house says hello, and you know something? After 3 minutes, it resets and starts to protect you. First, it welcomes you, and then it protects you. The Activator normally sells for $79.99. Today, $29.99. You heard me right, $29.99. And you call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. And go to mycoolgadgets.com, mycoolgadgets.com. And the special of the week at My Cool Gadgets, the first 20 customers will buy one, get one free. That's right, $160 worth of Activators, still only $29.99. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolgadgets.com. Mycoolgadgets.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-780-8280 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-780-8280.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Alex Hirschaft, you are co-founder of Farm Animal Rights Movement. How did that begin, and how does Farm address the tragedy of animal farming?
Sure. Well, as I mentioned earlier, in 1975, I had this sort of revelation. And the other thing that happened in 1975 is I happened to attend the World Vegetarian Congress in Orono, Maine, and I was really, really astounded by seeing about 1,500 vegetarians from all over the world and all different economic stations and modes of dress and languages, and all they had in common is that they were not eating animals. So I was very impressed, and I decided to become active. I started a little organization, which was basically me and an assistant, called the Vegetarian Information Service. And what happened during that time is that when I was, one of the things I did was to have a couple of small vegetarian conferences. And there were people who would come to the conferences and talk about animal rights. They had read Peter Singer's book, Animal Liberation, and they really didn't have a home, so they used to come to our vegetarian group. And, you know, this may sound really strange to your listeners, but back then animal rights was a very, very weird concept.
Yeah.
You know, there was Peter Singer's book, and that's it. If you hadn't read the book, you wouldn't have any concept of what animal rights was.
Right.
So finally, after a couple of years of these interactions, I finally realized that there may be something to this. And regardless, I knew that we were ending up in the same place, which was not eating animals. So I didn't really care that much why. So I said, well, why don't we do a joint conference? And then, you know, we can see if we get along and if we can work together. So in 1981, I arranged a fairly big conference in a little college in Pennsylvania called Cedar Crest College in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And that was basically the birthplace of the animal rights movement. That's where PETA became a national organization. That's where a number of other organizations were started that are no longer alive. And that's where FARM became an animal rights organization. And initially we started doing what's today known as welfare campaigns. So one of our big campaigns was to ban veal production. And one of the things we used to do is we used to go to restaurants and try to convince the chef or the owner about the horrible treatment of calves, dairy calves, that are grown for veal. And most of the times they would throw us out on our ears. But once in a while, we got a hearing, and the owner would say, well, geez, that's horrible. Tell me where I can get humanely raised veal. And we looked at each other. We said, we're in the wrong business. And that's sort of where we stopped doing welfare campaigns. But anyway, our first big campaign after that was the Great American Meatout, which of course is coming up on March 20th every year. And that's where we ask people to pledge to go vegan at least on March 20th, the first day of spring. And we also have a couple years before that, even 1983, we started the World Day for Farm Animals, which is kind of a somber day where we memorialize all the animals that are killed for food. We also have a smaller seasonal campaign called Vegan Earth Day, which is of course on Earth Day, April 22nd. So those are our seasonal programs. Now, 3 years ago, beginning of 2011, I guess it's 4 years almost, we read an article that said that 75% of vegetarians regress and eat meat again. And we didn't believe it, but then we said, okay, so what if the article is wrong? What if it's only 50%? What if it's 25%? What movement, whether it's Catholics or Mormons or what movement would accept to have such a large percentage of their adherents going back? And so we became very concerned, not just about getting people to go vegan, but also getting them to stay vegan. And so we formulated the concept of sustained vegan advocacy, where we not just get people to go vegan, but make sure that they stay vegan, where we basically hold their hand for about a year, once a week, with supporting materials. And the way we contact them in the first place is through a program we call 10 Billion Lives. And the way that works is we have a truck equipped with 8 screens where we show a video of basically most of it is videos of factory farming and slaughterhouse footage, but also we have a gentle introduction so that we don't turn them off right away. And then we asked them to pledge a certain number of vegan days per week, and we asked them for their contact information. And then, as I said, we stay in touch with them for a year or longer. We also have since added mobile kiosks, which are a little more flexible than the trucks because they can get into areas where the truck cannot get in. And we work mostly with young folks between the ages of 14 and 24. We get them in two kinds of places, rock concerts and college campuses. And that's a very, very active program right now.
Alex, are there any new projects or approaches being planned by Farm at this time?
Yeah, well, the thing that struck us, you know, all the approaches that we have contemplated in the past were, there are really three approaches to dealing with the issue, with the tragedy of animal agriculture. One is you can get people to stop, you know, individuals to stop eating animals gradually and get them to become vegan. A second way, that's what we call vegan advocacy. The second way is to accept that animals will be raised for food but improve their conditions. The third way is to work with institutions which use a lot of animal products and get them to stop using animal products. And the advantage of that approach is, you know, you kind of have to make ideological peace with the fact that they will be using animal products, but what you're doing is you're reducing the number of animal products or the extent of it. And the advantage is that if you can convince one executive of a cookie company or some other company that uses eggs to use an egg replacement, in one fell swoop, you have saved millions of chickens, you know, where it would take you lifetimes to get that many people to go vegan. So we're really looking into that right now, but it's a very tough approach to break into.
Now, in the last minute, Alex, you're on the lecture circuit and are available to speak at no cost to organizations, correct?
Thank you. Yes, thank you for bringing that up. The lecture is basically the same sort of thing that we've talked about in this interview, which is, how my background in the Holocaust led me to this fight against oppression. The best way that people can see this is by going to our website, which is holocaust2compassion.org, holocaust2compassion.org. And I also want to encourage people to attend our animal rights conference, which is coming up at the end of July, July 30th through August 2nd in Washington, D.C., and that they can see our conference website, which is arconference.org, arconference.org.
Very good, and I just want to remind my listeners what you said earlier, coming around the corner March 20th. Great American Meat Out. That's March 20th. So consider pledging to go vegan on that day and check out Alex's websites, which he stated. And thank you so much for listening to Animals Today. Alex Hirschhoff, thank you.
It's been a pleasure, Laurie. Thanks so much for having me.
If your car broke down right now, could you pay for the repairs? Did you know the average cost to replace a transmission is $2,500 and an air conditioning compressor costs $1,600? Call AutoSave Go today and have your covered repair bills paid for when your vehicle breaks down. If your car has less than 125,000 miles and is 2002 or newer, AutoSave Go offers affordable coverage that can save you thousands in auto repair bills. Coverage pays for parts, labor, diagnostics, taxes, and in most cases, even 24/7 roadside assistance. It's easy to qualify, and unlike other companies, we offer only the best coverage, always at the best price. It is unbeatable. Call AutoSave Go right now for a free, no obligation quote. Mention this radio ad and get free 24-hour roadside assistance with your coverage. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. For your free quote and free roadside assistance, call now. 800-260-9703. That's 800-260-9703. 800-260-9703.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-780-8280 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-780-8280.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Do you got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me. Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea.
Well, let's hear it. Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS the Solutionist on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You could be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
If your car broke down right now, could you pay for the repairs? Did you know the average cost to replace a transmission is $2,500 and an air conditioning compressor costs $1,600? Call AutoSave Go today and have your covered repair bills paid for when your vehicle breaks down. If your car has less than 125,000 miles and is 2002 or newer, AutoSave Go offers affordable coverage that can save you thousands in auto repair bills. Coverage pays for parts, labor, diagnostics, taxes, and in most cases, even 24/7 roadside assistance. It's easy to qualify, and unlike other companies, we offer only the best coverage, always at the best price. It is unbeatable. Call AutoSave Go right now for a free, no obligation quote. Mention this radio ad and get free 24-hour roadside assistance with your coverage. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. For your free quote and free roadside assistance, call now. 800-260-9703. That's 800-260-9703. 800-260-9703.
Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you can make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? Yes! According to the U.S. Census Bureau, you can make almost twice as much. Going back to college is now easier than ever. There are select online colleges that provide laptops to their students. In fact, there are thousands of college programs on your laptop. You can go to college anywhere and everywhere right from a laptop. Call My College Laptop and you can find hundreds of programs from accredited colleges and universities nationwide. Start a new career in law enforcement, business, information technology, healthcare, and hundreds of others. Call My College Laptop to find an online college that will provide you with a laptop. In no time at all, you can double your earning potential. Double your earning potential! Call now, 1-800-285-6834. That's 800-285-6834. 800-285-6834.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Well, I'd have to say the biggest animal story or news item of last week was the greatest show on earth, the Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus, announcing they will go on without the use of elephants by 2018. Well, it's about time. After 145 years of featuring elephants in its circus acts, it's about time. My next question would be, why does it take 3 more years to remove the elephants from the show? Okay, so what sparked this announcement? Well, I think they were really starting to feel the heat, not only from animal rights activists, but from the general public as well. I mean, look, whether it's horse and greyhound racing, rodeos, cockfighting, or even roadside zoos, animals are abused and exploited in a variety of ways for human amusement. And I think one area in particular we're starting to see an increased public awareness that using animals as entertainers is a bad idea is in the circus. More people are realizing these wild animals are removed from their natural environment, separated from their families, kept chained or caged in small enclosures, are forced to endure cruel training methods, and are made to perform unnatural tricks for the spectators. We know wild animals jumping through hoops of fire or standing on their heads only perform because of cruel and punishing training methods. When parents take their kids to the circus, they indirectly send them the message that animals are props to be used and that it's okay to ignore any pain and suffering that the animals might be experiencing. The children learn that animals exist for our amusement. More and more families understand this and do not want to instill these ideas in the minds of our children. And the evidence of this awareness comes from around the world. Many countries have banned the use of animals in circuses, and in the U.S. there are numerous partial or full bans on circus animals. So going back to the Ringling Brothers news, many animal rights groups are taking credit for generating this public concern that forced Ringling Brothers to make this announcement. And I think they deserve this credit. I mean, for years, activists have been saying the use of performing animals is unnecessary and cruel. And for years, animal rights groups have protested Ringling Brothers' cruelty to the elephants. Kenneth Feld, whose father bought the circus in 1967 and who now runs Feld Enterprises, insisted that animal rights activists weren't responsible for their decision and told the Associated Press, "We're not reacting to our critics. We're creating the greatest resource for the preservation of the Asian elephant." Which I find very funny that he's implying that their decision is based in concerns for conservation. But interestingly, Alana Feld, the company's executive vice president, stated, quote, "There's been somewhat of a mood shift among our consumers. A lot of people aren't comfortable with us touring with our elephants." So there seems to be different stance within the company as to why they are making this move. And look, just look around what's happening around us. Los Angeles prohibited the use of bullhooks by elephant trainers and handlers last April. And in Oakland, California, they passed a similar ban last December. So bullhooks, you might know, are these rods with solid steel pointed ends specifically designed to inflict pain on the animal, and are used to force the animal to do what the trainer wants him to do. Now, since bullhooks are needed to control and train performing elephants, banning them essentially means banning performing elephants. So Ringling Brothers, which normally performs annually in these two cities, LA and Oakland, will have to do their yearly show without elephants or simply go elsewhere. Similarly, Austin, Texas, and Richmond, Virginia, are in the process of drafting similar bans. And as I mentioned earlier, many countries have banned the use of animals in circuses, and in the U.S., there are 49 partial or full bans on circus animals in municipalities in 22 states. And Feld acknowledged that because so many cities and counties have passed these sorts of bans, it's difficult to organize the routine annual tours. And he stated, fighting legislation in each jurisdiction is expensive. Now, you know there are numerous wonderful entertaining circuses that do not use animals. I mean, there's a long list of cruelty-free circuses you could just see by Googling cruelty-free or animal-free circuses. For example, Ringling's popular Canada-based competitor, Cirque du Soleil, doesn't use wild animals and only features human acts. So this is great news and a step in the right direction for our elephants. However, this does not mean we should all be running out to see a Ringling Brothers show. The company's press release said that, quote, the circus will continue to feature other extraordinary animal performers, including tigers, lions, horses, dogs, and camels. Replacing one animal act for another is not eliminating animal exploitation and cruelty. I mean, a person abusing dogs and cats announces he will no longer be abusing dogs. Well, that's great news for the dogs. So again, we should be feeling happy for these elephants. They will retire from the circus, and no doubt these elephants taken out of the show will now live a more peaceful life. And the animal rights community should be celebrating this announcement, and they should be proud of their efforts because this is happening because of them. But don't think for a minute that Ringling Brothers is now eliminating or even reducing the animal suffering, because they're not. So Ringling Brothers, this is a good start, and your announcement will unfortunately improve your plummeting public image. But we, the people who care about the well-being of animals, want to know, how about all the other wild animals exploited and abused by you? The use of any animal in the circus is cruel and unnecessary, and as long as they're going to continue to exploit animals, please, please do not support them. Do not support this kind of animal cruelty by attending their shows. Wild animals belong in the wild. They don't belong in your home. They don't belong behind a cage in a zoo. And they certainly don't want to be forced to perform silly tricks for you. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals. Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org.